Hello, everyone, and welcome to your dirty, filthy Mark's recap of WrestleMania 36, night one. Yes, yes, the WrestleMania that's too big for one night. They're having it on two. Hosted by Rob Gronkowski and Mojo Rawley, because reasons. This is not how WrestleMania was meant to be. This night should have been at Raymond James Stadium. We should have had a big pirate ship in the background. 80,000 filthy, dirty marks clamored together from all four corners of the world to celebrate this one night. But not just WWE. A whole bunch of organizations were supposed to come in. It was a week devoted to wrestling. Tampa Bay was supposed to turn into one great big wrestling convention. Alas, it was not meant to be. The coronavirus has made sure of that. With everything dropping like flies over the past month, Vince McMahon stood his ground and held his ground. He was going to put on a WrestleMania by thunder, and the evil madman did it. Well, evil's a bit of a stretch, but the madman did it. The McMahons were determined to put on their WrestleMania. And, well, here we are. They're the only game in town tonight because, well, outside of esports, there ain't much else going on. Two nights, 18 matches, God help us all. So let's jump right into it. The first is Drew Gulak versus Cesaro. It was your kickoff match on the pre-show, and this was a pretty standard paint-by-numbers affair for these two guys. Yes, Drew Gulak is a good cruiserweight. Yes, Cesaro is a great technical wrestler with power and agility that should be better utilized than this. So, why are these two here? Because reasons. Gulak is training Brian, and Cesaro is a lackey for the great liberator, Sami Zayn. Cesaro is able to win by a spinning gut-wrench powerbomb. Lol. I will fully admit I was not invested in this whatsoever. Back to the drawing board, boys. Go to your respective corners, and we'll see you later tonight. The match was okay. It was serviceable. This could have happened on Raw, and I wouldn't have been able to tell the difference. So, let's get the regular show started. After a long, long promo introductory package full of pirates and natives and Becky Lynch with an axe and Drew McIntyre taking on an entire fleet by himself, there was Stephanie McMahon, who was there to welcome us to a truly unique WrestleMania. Sister, you ain't kidding. But we are here tonight to kick things off, and here comes Gronk and Mojo Rawley, who are acting like two frat boys. Yeah. All right, let's get this over with. And hey, is that's Michael Cole and JBL. JBL's back. Hey, how you doing, JBL? Nice to see you're doing well. How's the business? Okay, fine. Let's move on. We kick things off with the women's tag team title match between the Kabuki Warriors of Kairi Sane and Asuka taking on Bliss Cross Applesauce of Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. This is a rematch of their Hell in a Cell match, and I gotta admit, this match was interesting. I think in front of a hot crowd, this match probably could have gone a little bit better. Nikki's out there with a lot of energy, and the Kabuki Warriors were doing a lot of screaming. I mean, a lot of screaming. It practically sounded like Japanese. No. It's too late at night for that. But with that being said, there were hot tags. Nikki had had energy to spare. And Alexa Bliss put out a few nice sparkle splashes. Oh, I'm sorry, Twisted Bliss, as they call it. But Cross was able to regain control with Kairi Sane, hit a perfect cross, tag into Bliss, Twisted Bliss. 1, 2, 3, your winners and new tag team champions. Bliss Cross Applesauce wins and are your new champions. I don't mind this result, in all honesty. The Kabuki Warriors have been great as heel tag teams. They've been good, but I think it's just time we put the belts on somebody else right now. Do I really think that Bliss and Cross are going to take these belts and completely revitalize the division? Well, at the current state, it's really hard to tell that. But it's nice to see the belts put on somebody else. Let's see where these two go. If we have to create a couple of tag teams to make these two look good, then fine. More Nikki Cross on the mic is a good thing, just as long as she has her morning coffee. Up next is Elias versus King Corbin. Oh, God! Well, out comes King Corbin, and when he was walking out, he was yelling out to the audience to bow before their king. Corbin, Bubby, there's nobody out there. Just walk down to the ring and look pretty. I'm not sure if his king gimmick is getting old or getting over, but if we're not careful, Corbin's going to tread into upper mid-card purgatory really, really soon. Corbin comes to the ring and requests a forfeit, because of course he does, and he's a heel. Out comes Elias, he has his guitar, he's hobbling a little bit, Corbin runs out, Elias ducks, and wham! El Kabong on Corbin. Well, that should be a disqualification. No. You see, Elias never entered the ring, the bell never rung, therefore, his weapon shot was completely legal. Because reasons. Somewhere, Jeff Jarrett is smiling. Elias gets a good amount of offense in early, but King Corbin, as usual, gets his offense back. We see why Corbin actually could be a dastardly heel. Great heel tactics and a good power game. His deep six could be hit out of nowhere, but his end of days is his finisher, so he wasted all of his momentum on his deep six. Corbin tries to go for an illegal pin, but gets caught and lectured by the ref. So what does Elias do? The deadliest move in all of... Actually, credit to Simon Miller for that. He rolls up Elias and holds his tights. Ref doesn't see it. 1, 2, 3. Good night, Elias is your winner. I didn't get to say this before, but the pre-show match D, the Bliss Cross match, the tag team match, I'll give that... Actually, probably should go by stars. That'll be easier. I give that one 3 stars. Good opening match. The women carry the day. This, I'm only giving 2 stars out of 5. Elias was good. It's just, you know, he came back. He was Mufasa back from the dead. I love how FanSided has got this match listed as a Lion King match, seeing how he was thrown off a balcony beforehand. We could have seen these two in the King of the Ring, I guess. But it's at the end of the day, it's a throwaway match. There wasn't much to this. I thought Corbin should have won to keep his heat, but Elias wins. Yay. Let's move on. Up next was Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler. Ooh, here we go. For the Women's Championship. Out comes Shayna Baszler, and with there being no crowd, and I have to hear all of Shayna's entrance, I don't know because of her reactions in NXT, but I don't remember hearing the funky part of Shayna Baszler's theme before it goes into the kick-ass guitar solo. And Becky Lynch, somebody decided to ride in on a Mack truck, although as someone who's handled big rigs, all she did was have that thing in neutral. I can guarantee you Becky was doing no driving. That thing was in neutral and just coasting about 15 to 20 feet. Becky didn't have to do anything. Anyway, Becky comes out. She still gets the pyro, even in this whole empty performance center. This was a pretty good match between these two. Each woman trying to get their submissions in. Shayna always trying to lock in the Karafuta clutch or arm bars. Shades of Ronda Rousey. We were hoping for Ronda Rousey to come back in this match, but it never really materialized. This was about Becky and Baszler. Baszler looked like an absolute killer at times, having that swinging powerbomb move and bouncing Becky's head off the announce table. She even tried putting the disarmer on Becky, and which would have been really interesting to see Becky tap out to that, but she didn't. So we get back into the ring, and the Karafuta clutch is on right there in the center of the ring. This is where It's going to go down. Becky's going to lose. This is it. The torch has been passed, and she rolls Shayna into a pinfall. 1, 2, 3. And Becky wins. Becky has retained. Okay. Becky wins. So, Shayna's going to attack her post-match to get her heat back. No, Shayna's sulking in the corner looking defeated. Okay. Becky's going to get out of the ring. And then Shayna's going to jump her. She's going to beat her up, beat her down, and get her heel heat back. And we'll see this as a rematch on Raw. No, Shayna's just walking up the ramp, holding her sides, looking defeated. Okay, Becky's standing tall at the beginning of the ramp. Shayna's going to jump her. She's going to get her heat back. They're going to do something. Come on. Do something. Come on, Shayna. You bit her neck. You bit her freaking neck and drew blood. You jumped her. And now you're nothing? Becky wins? Thank you. Good night. That's it? Oh, well. Nice job, Becky. Okay. I'm cool. Like Hades from Disney's Hercules. I'm cool. Okay, Becky wins. I'm not a fan of this. Let's just get this out of the way. I'm taking a look on Fansided, and there are some people who are going to agree with them. Baszler won at the Survivor Series for NXT. Becky gets her win back at WrestleMania. So that's how this works. I'm sorry. I'm not convinced. I am convinced, and this is a hack theory, credit Ross Waddell, in my part. I think this match was made originally. Shayna was going to win, and Becky was going to leave in an alternate timeline where WrestleMania goes on as it was supposed to be at Raymond James. I think this match got changed because of the Performance Center. That's just me. Is Becky Lynch a great female wrestler? Absolutely. Is she an ass kicker? You bet. Is she great on the mic when she wants to be? Absolutely. But this win, it clinched her having a one full year of being champion, makes Becky already the most dominant star in the entire women's division. This match should prove that. Except here's the problem. We've known this. Becky has had little challengers until now. Shayna looked like the credible threat, and here was a chance to put over Baszler, and you didn't. If you decide to do the old, we're going to put the belt on her in a rematch tomorrow night, doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. I don't like this. This was a moment for Baszler, and you blew it. Let's move on before I get more upset. Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan for the IC Championship. Is it me or does Sami Zayn look a lot like Fidel Castro? You be the judge. So Daniel Bryan comes out with Drew Gulak in his corner, and boy, Daniel Bryan, clean-shaven, looks incredible. Looks absolutely incredible. I think he's a few years older than me, and boy, I'd love to be in that kind of shape, but the man takes really good care of himself, and I do not at times. Anyway, out comes Sami Zayn. He's flanked by Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. Sami's ska theme is still one of my favorites, and Sami calls himself the Great Liberator. Even his side graphic has got him with a piece of duct tape over him. Okay. All right. Sami plays like an absolute coward chicken heel. He is channeling Honky Tonk Man. More than willing to take countouts, more than willing to walk away as long as he knows he has his title, he can just walk away. And Bryan tries to get out and chase after him, but he's stopped by Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura at all costs. Sami gets back in, gets back out. We keep counting. DB wants him to get in. He doesn't. Sami is just going to walk away. Bryan says, all right, walk away. He's going to take a count-out victory. A count-out loss. Is this really what we're going to do? We're really going to do this? No. Daniel Bryan runs up, gets him, throws him back in the ring, and we get to some of the graps. Nice stuff as always by Daniel Bryan. Sami Zayn is selling it like he is just getting the tar beaten out of him. And those head stomps. The head stomps to Sami's head. Whew. Ooh, those are brutal. Cesaro and Shinsuke deal with Drew Gulak, getting him out of it. Daniel Bryan gets a suicide dive to Cesaro and Nakamura, take them out of it. Bryan eyes up Sami Zayn, another crossbody, hell of a kick, wow! Catches Bryan in midair, down goes Daniel Bryan, 1, 2, 3, Sami pins and wins. Wow. Decent match. If Sami is going to be this run-your-mouth, chicken-type heel, again, channeling the honky-tonk man, if that's what we're doing with him, I'm okay with this. He's going to rely on his backup, either Cesaro or Shinsuke, and he's going to do every single loophole to get out of his matches. He's going to get sneaky pinfalls. He's going to roll up. He's going to use ropes. He's going to get countouts. He's going to do everything except eat a win. I am willing to be invested in Sami Zayn being champion in the long term. He's a great talker, and fans will pay to see him get his comeuppance. Something is working here. This is a win all around. Bryan looks sympathetic. Sami Zayn looks like a cowardly heel. This is good. I like this. More of this, please. Up next is a triple threat match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, except there is no tag team. It's just three single stars competing for the Tag Team Championship, and John Morrison by himself as part of the dirt sheet. Jimmy Uso representing the Usos, and Kofi Kingston representing the New Day. This is a bit awkward, but let's just put the Russo-rific booking aside, and let's just approach this with an open mind and open hearts and some alcohol in hand. This match, let's call a spade, this was a spot fest. Plain and simple. You had Hurricane Ranas, you had dives onto ladders, you had suicide dives, you had jumps, you had splashes, you had big moves, super kick parties, just unbelievable between these three. It was, here's some ladders, go have fun. And that's exactly what all three of these guys did. We got Jimmy Uso doing the Uso splash, Morrison selling a hell of a super kick onto a ladder. And the finish of this match, there's too many spots for me to say. There was even a Spanish fly off the top rope, but then again, that's standard these days. There's too many spots for me to say here, but the end of the match is where really, here's where your money is. You have a ladder that's in the middle of the ring. Kofi's climbing it. On the other side of the ladder, which is facing the hard cam, which Yves Morrison, back to the hard cam, is climbing. Now, there is a ladder there that is acting as a bridge between the second rope and the ladder. The ladder is just cinched there as a bridge. Everybody still with me? Good. You have Morrison and Kofi at the top of the ladder trying to wrestle down the titles. Nothing's working. In comes Jimmy Uso, who grabs a ladder, climbs up himself. He's going to grab the titles, and they unhook it from that special big hook thing, and all three men have brought down the tag belts. Wait, what? Yeah, all three guys have the tag belts. All three of them unhooked it at the same time. Okay. Only one way to break this tie. Whoever falls down to the floor with the belts first gets it. Three men are fighting over it. Morrison falls back first onto that ladder. Hey, wait. What's that in Morrison's hand? It's the tag belts. Your winner, John Morrison and The Miz. So, Morrison fell backwards from a ladder and won the tag belts. And there's Kofi and Jimmy Uso just looking down on him going, wait, what happened? I was waiting for the Curb Your Enthusiasm music to start up. You know, the bum, 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 ba-dum, ba-dum, bum. I was waiting for that to play. And if I could make videos and had the editing skills, I would do that here. I'm not surprised that that Morrison won. I think that's the right call. Switching the belts right now with the way everything is right now, at least the tag belts, isn't the right thing to do. All three men went out there and had a hell of a match, you know. And as OSW has said, a can of Coke for all of them. Congrats to all of them. Congrats to Morrison and Miz retaining. Miz, get well soon. So let's head on. All right, we got three matches to go, so let's get through it. Up next is Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. Rollins comes out first in his Power Rangers attire. He's in his robe. I expect him to come out going, "Hello, my name is Elder Rollins, and I would like to share with you the most amazing book." My goodness. White robe, white pants with Messiah on them. If this was OS Dub reviewing, this would be a what bar if I ever saw it. Out comes Kevin Owens looking great, and these two men just go at it. Trading moves, Falcon Arrow, attempted curb stomp, suplexes, sling blades, Falcon Arrows, super kicks, cannonballs, sentons, move after move. Guys just going after each other. And if you were expecting the AOP and Buddy Murphy to come out, well, my friend, you are sadly disappointed, because these two men went out there and just absolutely said, "We're going to go out there and have the best match of the goddamn night. Thank you very much." And they did. There was a DQ after Rollins hit Owens with the bell and just laughed, said, "Yeah, disqualify me. I don't care. I beat Owens up. I'm done for the night. No pin, but pay me anyways." So Owens gets on the mic and says, no, get back here. That's not the actions of a messiah. That's the actions of a coward. No DQ. Fight me. Okay, so all of you wondering, wrestlers can now restart matches on their own and apparently can make no DQ stipulations. So you know what that means. It's a Dusty Rhodes finish there, baby. The match is restarted, and it's no DQ. So Seth grabs the stairs at one point and goes, "No DQ, right?" Looks at the ref. Ref nods and hits Kevin Owens with the stairs. Okay. Owens grabs the ring bell, hits Rollins in the skull with it twice, and then puts him on a table. Okay, what are we going to do? Owens goes behind the announce tables and disappears. Gets up to the top of the sun. Oh, God, he isn't. Jumps off. Senton. Boom! Through the announce table. Oh, my Lord. Oh, wait. He's got to pin him in the ring. It's no DQ, not false count anywheres. Gets Rollins back in the ring. My bad. Stunner. 1, 2, 3. Pins and wins. Wow. Great match between these two. This reminds me of Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect. I think it was at a SummerSlam, and the two decided to go out there and have the best match of the goddamn night. Thank you very much. That's exactly what these two did. In terms of pure wrestling and stuff taking place in the ring, yes, it was the best show of the night. These two just went out there and beat the tar out of each other, and it was great. And I want to be greedy. If we didn't have all this going on in an alternate timeline, I want one more match between these two. I want these two at like a ladder match, a Hell in a Cell, something. This impromptu no DQ match was good. It was great. But let's have a full no DQ between these two. That would be great. So we go back up to the balcony, and Mojo and Gronk are there, you know, our two dude bros. And there's our truth. He's trying to hide. He ain't safe. And Mojo Rawley pins him and becomes the new 24/7 champion. Lol. Moving on. Up next was Big Billy Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. No. It's Braun Strowman. Okay. All right. So, okay. Let's just get one thing out of the way. These two men are a lot of beef. There's a lot of beef between these two. These are two hosses in the ring. If you are expecting these guys to have a 10-minute Matt Classic, you have your expectations set way too high. Goldberg's old. Strowman was inserted at literally the last minute, even though there should have been more for this. Goldberg comes out, has a lot of finishers stored up. Four spears to Braun Strowman, only gets a two count. Goes for the jackhammer. Oh, dear God, he's not going to do this. Dear God, no, don't. Nope. Braun picks him up. Three power slams, running power slam. One, two, three. Your winner and new Blue Universal Champion, Braun Strowman. Okay, there are people who are going to absolutely shite over this match. And this match was not good. I'm not going to defend that this match was horrible. This match, and I hate to say this, it is what it is. Strowman was put in at the last minute. Reigns was supposed to go over here and get rid of Goldberg. In fact, maybe carry Goldberg to a 10-minute match. This was shoehorned in at the last minute, and and was the right decision. You could make a case for Goldberg winning and then keep the belt on him until whenever we get back to some semblance of normalcy and then drop the belt. But Braun getting this big championship and could actually get a run as a monster heel out of this. Yes, again, the match was shite, but if you were expecting a Mac Classic between these two, you have your expectations way too high. Braun winning was the right result. It's not a Mac Classic. It was a substitute. So let's just leave it at that. Let's move on to your main event o'clock. Your main event o'clock is The Undertaker versus AJ Styles in a Boneyard match. Buried Alive match. But we can't call it that these days, so it's a Boneyard match. And folks, oh my God. Okay, if you love the broken brilliance of Matt Hardy and all the crazy stuff that he did with his vignettes, if you love Final Deletion, then by God, this was for you. This was great. In comes a hearse with classic Undertaker Dead Man music. There's a coffin, opens it up, and it's AJ! Ha ha! He got us with the thing. There's two druids with him. Gee, I wonder who that could be. In comes Undertaker on a motorcycle. We're getting American Badass. Or should I say, Dead Man Badass. And is that new Metallica music? I think it is. Anyway, Undertaker gains control this match, saying, "Come on, boy, you wanted this. Let's fight, boy." Throwing in more realism in on this. You know, yes, this is more Mark Calloway than The Undertaker. Well, in some spots. There is a John Deere that has a really big shovel full of dirt in it. Gee, I wonder if that's going to get used at all. And there is a makeshift grave that's made. I wonder if this will be a factor. Folks, I can't give you all the great highlights from this. This is unbelievable. Yes, the club got involved. There were even druids that attacked Undertaker for reasons. People thought it could have been Bullet Club members that were going to attack Undertaker. There's at one point where AJ throws Taker into the grave and is going to fire up the John Deere. He's going to bury him. This is how it's going to go down. AJ's really going to beat him. Surprise! He's not dead. He's behind AJ. Keeps fighting him. They battle on top of a barn and keep fighting and fighting. Gallows gets Tombstone for his trouble. There's even at one point where AJ, you know, spears Undertaker through the side of a barn and the Undertaker's breathing. And I thought, oh God, this is how it's going to end. But it wasn't. If you were expecting Michelle McCool to get involved, there was a reason for it. Psych. She didn't. It was just these two. Yes, Gallows and Anderson got involved, but we knew that was going to happen anyway. Great performance by these two. It was a little milked at the end where AJ's like, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And he's like, and Undertaker's literally, and this is what he's saying, "Nah, don't be like that. You fought good. Nobody has ever pushed me that far." and is even holding him up close to him. And I'm like, oh, they're going to hug it out. He's not going to bury him. Walks away. Nope. Big boot into the grave. Undertaker buries him. And then there's AJ with his one hand lifting up from the grave. Undertaker gets on his bike and rides off with Metallica playing in the background. Copyright symbol, fade to black. Thank you, good night. Oh my God, this was awesome. No, this was not a wrestling match. This was sports entertainment. This was schmoz. But oh my God, this was great. Note to Wyatt and Cena, that's the bar. That's the bar you have to get over on Sunday night. This was absolutely great between these two. I'd give this match of the night. I'm an Undertaker mark. I will gladly admit it. But this was just, as a sports entertainment and entertainment, that was great. In terms of pure wrestling and storytelling, Rollins and KO was great. But some really solid performances in these troubled times tonight. The only real dud was probably Strowman and Goldberg, but that was victim of circumstances. So match of the night in my book, I'm giving it to Undertaker AJ. I'm an Undertaker mark. I will gladly admit it. Your three stars of the night, your third star, I'm giving to Sami Zayn. Great job as a cowardly heel, keeping his title. Let's keep that going. More of that, please. The second star of the night, I'm actually going to give to Kevin Owens. He was a victor in what, and people will say, is the best match of the night. It depends on what you prefer. I preferred one other one than this, but KO had a great job, had his WrestleMania moment. The Swanton, or the Senton, I should say, off the WrestleMania sign was great. It'll make Shane McMahon jealous. But to me, your first star of the night, it's probably not the first time he's gotten number one star, I will give to The Undertaker. This type of match, if we can have more Boneyard matches, we can add another year or two to The Undertaker's career. Stuff like this that's heavily edited and plays into The Undertaker's hoodoo juju as the dead man with a lot of schmoz and effects are great. How great was this? You even had Mick Foley on Twitter say, Vince, can I be in the next Boneyard match, please? 50-year-old Mick Foley and a 50-year-old Undertaker in a Boneyard match? I need to think about this. But even more so, I need some sleep. It's reaching midnight here on the East Coast. Thank you for listening to this filthy, dirty marks review of WrestleMania 36 on a Saturday night. I'll be back tomorrow night for round two. So everyone, get some sleep, you filthy, dirty marks, and I'll see you next time.